Hi, this is Lori McCabe from the SMB Group, and I'm here today with Vikram Mittal. He is the founder of WorkWell Health Services, which has about 20 employees. It's a small business that provides occupational medical health services in the Salinas and Monterey areas in Northern California. And they were established about 7 years ago and have grown very quickly since then. Today, in their main location, which has been up and running for a while, they serve about 40 to 50 patients a day. And they're adding, I understand, another facility where they'll probably serve an additional 40 to 50 patients a day. So today we'll be talking with Vikram, who, as I mentioned, is the founder and CIO of WorkWell, about the company and also the role that technology plays in his business. So, Vikram, I briefly described your company. It does sound really interesting. Can you provide us with a little bit more color commentary about the business? Sure. Maybe why, you know, how it was formed, your role in it, et cetera.
Sure, sure. So really, in Monterey County, which is the county where we are based, in Monterey County in 2003, or rather 2001, when my wife and I moved to Monterey County, we discovered that there really weren't any occupational medical clinics in the area. So if you look mm-hmm. at Santa Clara County, San Jose area, Silicon Valley, we had a lot of different occupational medicine clinics. And south of Monterey County, we have as well. We just didn't have any here, so we felt that it was an opportunity for us, and with my wife having practiced occupational medicine since 1997 in Connecticut and Massachusetts, you know, we felt that this was there was really no competition, and we decided to start WorkWell in 2003.
And probably much better weather than you had in New England, right?
That's correct.
And how about your role? What role do you play in WorkWell?
Sure. So, you know, I play a couple of different roles. My background is I'm actually an IT person working with, you know, with large companies like GE and other very, very large banks. Hmm. And so the role I wear multiple hats like any small business. And, you know, in 2003, I started off with setting the business strategy, coming up with the marketing plans, determining what our pricing structure would be, and so on. And then most importantly, also figuring out how we can leverage technology in the practice. And, mm-hmm. You know, and I'm a big open source, you know, advocate, and so, you know, using open source as much as we can within the practice as well.
Right. Well, tell us a little bit about, you know, 7 years is a pretty long time, and certainly there have been a lot of changes in the healthcare industry over the last 7 years, and I'm wondering if you can give us a little bit of insight about the types of changes and challenges that you've faced as the company has grown.
Sure. So I think there are some challenges which we face which are typical of any small business. You know, for example, you know, with any small business, you've got challenges associated with recruiting, attracting good talent, just because you can't offer them a 10-year, 15-year upward successive career path. So,
right.
You know, but those challenges are typical of any small business. What's unique to us in the healthcare space in terms of challenges, I think, would really be in the area of billing and collections. And I think this is becoming more well known, but it doesn't make a difference what kind of medical practice you are. But, you know, reimbursements have been going down literally year upon year while our expenses keep going up. And not only are our reimbursement rates going down, that's set by the various insurers and Medicare, but also collecting what is due to us is becoming harder and harder. So I would mm-hmm. say that is probably the biggest challenge.
Mm. So have you been able to figure out any kind of solution to help you address the challenge? And if so, is there any kind of technology component to that?
Well, I think what we've tried to do is, you know, directly there is no easy solution to address reimbursement.
Mm.
It's a nationwide problem. But what we can do is try and make, you know, in the face of, you know, dropping reimbursement rates and also dropping collection rates, what we can and have to do is try and be as efficient as possible and get our costs down as much as we can. And so our focus really has been, you know, internally focused, trying to get ourselves as efficient as we can. So at least whatever we collect, it helps us cover our costs.
Right. So basically using technology to become more productive and cut costs and cut time out of different processes, it sounds like.
Sure.
Can you give us a little bit of insight into maybe some of the areas you feel like you've been successful in doing this?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, one of the biggest areas for us, and you know, when I've worked at large companies, this would be very common in a large company, but in a small, you know, 15, 20 employee office, it becomes harder. But what we've tried to do is, number one, is we've tried to use open software where we can, and that saved us a lot of money. So I'll give you an example. You know, when we had to put in a phone system years ago, we looked at various phone systems from, you know, Panasonic and Avaya and, you know, Nortel. A lot of these phone systems are pretty standard in, you know, in small offices.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at basically about $2,000 to $3,000 for a phone system and another, you know, $1,500 to $2,000 for 15 phone digital phones. And by going to an open system like TrixBox, you know, TrixBox CE, is, you know, comes at no cost. You download it, and, you know, and it's free. So the cost of our phone system was essentially the hardware, which was about $400, and then the you know, and then the phones themselves, which, because we are not tied to a particular vendor, we were able to basically get our entire phone system for about $800 versus $4,000. So that's one example. You know, another example.
Were you able to do that yourself, or did you work with a consultant, or?
So, you know, in my case, I was able to do it myself, but I will tell you that, you know, again, it's a little bit unique in that, given my background, I could do it. But I would say that, you know, installing TrixBox and getting it up and running and getting it reliable enough to be used in a production environment, you know, typically you would use a consultant, but I was able to use the, you know, use some of my Unix background and the forums that there are with TrixBox to get it up and running.
So you sound like kind of a do-it-yourself technology guy whenever possible.
I think so. I mean, actually, we've done most of it ourselves. Most of it has been done ourselves. But, you know, I'll give you another example of how we've saved expenses. You know, when we went to, you know, a true IP-based phone system, obviously we needed a lot of bandwidth. You know, we run about, you know, 6-7 concurrent calls at a time, and with each call taking up about 100 kilobits per second, we essentially needed a T1 to manage our bandwidth needs. Now, I shopped around, and, you know, I looked at, you know, the large vendors like AT&T in our area and some smaller vendors like Bandwidth, and, you know, the cost of a T1 is about $600-$700 a month, a managed T1. And Comcast has been now offering actually T1, T2 level speeds for businesses. So this is not Comcast for residential, but Comcast for business,
right,
for about $90 a month. So
yeah.
I was able to, again, save about $500 a month,
mm-hmm.
you know, which starts to add up over time, you know, in by going to a Comcast Ethernet-based connection rather than a T1 connection.
So in that case, really, it was just a question of shopping around and finding a different service provider and really not having to really do anything or know anything in terms of the implementation yourself.
Yes and no, because, you know, with a T1, actually, you need a lot more, right? So you need a CSU, DSU, you need a lot more network. Your router needs to be a lot more expensive. But what typically happens is when I speak to most of, you know, when I just recently attended a conference in Chicago, and it was a conference where we had, you know, people come from all over the country. And I was surprised. Actually, there was only one other person in the room that was using Comcast. And the reason is because, you know, most people, you know, T1s have been around for 20 years, and it's the de facto standard to use a T1 for business. So when you start telling people that, you know, that we are going to an Ethernet-based, system, which is, which is a business class internet provider, I think there are still a lot of people, at least in the medical space, which is not very advanced. I think most doctors' offices are not on the cutting edge of technology. I think most people are surprised that there is such an offering and that it's reliable enough.
Yeah, have you been happy with it?
Yes, we've actually not had. We started using Comcast 3 years ago, and I think we've had two outages, and so we literally have had no outage.
And what are some of the other kind of day-to-day kind of solutions that support your business that you just see as really critical? Could be different business solutions. It could be infrastructure, mobile solutions. What's really the lifeblood of we just can't have these things go down?
Yeah. So obviously the number one is our practice management software, right? So that is absolutely the backbone of the clinic. So from the moment that a patient calls us to us billing and collecting from the insurer, we have a practice management system from a company called Medisoft. And what we've done is, so that's absolutely the lifeblood. Without that, we would not survive. But what we've done is we have actually then built upon Medisoft a whole bunch of actually in-house interfaces. We are also using Sugar CRM, which is a CRM, open software CRM tool for our marketing needs.
And you've integrated those? Have you done that yourself or used a consultant?
No, actually, we've integrated it ourselves. I was actually able to write some code where I've been able to, so for example, the database of clients and employers that we service, we have a program that will basically transfer the data from Sugar CRM and Medisoft back and forth. Medisoft uses a proprietary database in the back end. Sugar CRM uses MySQL. And, I wrote some software that will basically transfer the data every night.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you selected Medisoft, can you tell me a little bit, is that something where you evaluated a number of different solutions for practice management, or had you or your wife used that in a previous setting and just decided that it worked really well and so you wanted to bring that over? How did that come about?
Sure. It's actually both. So number one is we had experience with Medisoft before 2003, but really in the small doctor's office space there were two or three vendors. There was actually another vendor called Litech, and Litech and Medisoft actually were owned by the same company. So there were a lot of similarities between the two, and then there were one or two other softwares. We actually selected Medisoft primarily because literally they were one of the top three softwares for small doctors' offices, and they were reasonably priced, and also we had had experience with them before.
So how is that working out for you then? That solution plus the Sugar CRM for the patient relationships, and is there things that you're looking for that could give you other functionality or capabilities in this area, or are they pretty much fitting the bill for you?
They're working out okay. The biggest question for us is Medisoft, when we got it, the back-end database is an Advantage database. Advantage is now owned by Sybase, but it's an Advantage database. Now, in subsequent versions, we haven't actually upgraded to the latest version of Medisoft. One of the things that's been really important to us is having the ability to be able to access the back-end database directly. So, by having the ability to access the data directly, we've been able to, for example, we have a marketing email campaign system that we use. We use Sugar CRM. We've actually integrated TrixBox, Microsoft Exchange, all of this into the back-end Medisoft system. One of the concerns that I have is the new version of Medisoft actually has locked down the database. And so if I upgrade to the new version of Medisoft, I lose all this integration. And there are some other vendors out there that I've looked at recently in the last few years that have some more bells and bells and whistles in terms of, you know, for example, a tablet support and so on. But again, my challenge is I want software that's relatively open that allows me to go in and, you know, make not necessarily make changes to the software, but at least where the database in the back end is open, I can access the data readily and use it where I need to use it.
Mm. Now, are you using any software service or cloud-based kinds of solutions?
You know, we actually looked for Metasoft, Sugar CRM, even a Microsoft Exchange, TrixBox. So, I mean, frankly, every single piece of software we use right now, you know, including our word processor and our and our spreadsheet system, right? Every single thing can be now sort of outsourced and cloud based. We haven't done it, although I'm an advocate for it for some of my peers and in the industry. We haven't done it because for us, given my background, it still turns out substantially cheaper. Probably by a factor of five, by hosting it in-house. So mm-hmm. I have a powerful Dell server. I have two Dell servers that are fully redundant. And essentially, they're mirror copies. So I have multiple points of redundancy. And, I have a couple of virtual machines running in there. And I actually feel I have better availability because of that level of redundancy. Now,
right, and
I can do that because of my background, but
you know how to manage and maintain the systems properly, which is critical. And how have the Dell systems been working out for you?
You know, I've been very, very happy with Dell. I'm that's probably the hardware vendor of choice for me. I find that they're very reliable. Their service has been great. And what I find is that even their website for patches and updates works very, very well. So actually, we've standardized on Dell. You know, our laptops, our desktops, our server, everything is Dell.
Well, that's great. Well, I just have one more question for you that I think listeners would be interested in because you're obviously, kind of on the leading edge in terms of technology in the small business space. What are your top sources, Vikram, for keeping up with technology trends and solutions that, might be beneficial to the business? How do you keep up with it all? Because, as everything changes so fast.
Sure. So I think that a couple, I'd break it down into probably three or four areas. So as far as simple end user, when I'm looking to buy a fax machine or a new laptop or a desktop, when I want to do some of that end-user kind of stuff, I look at CNET reviews. So just simple things like I'm looking at two printers. Which printer is better? I'll go to CNET.
Okay.
Then, as far as my open-source stuff goes, whether it's Sugar CRM or whether it's, TrixBox, each one of them have some very, very good. So, for example, I'm also using Nagios for systems management and, managing bandwidth and network and uptime and so on. So when I go to Nagios or I go to, any of these websites, the forums are extremely helpful. So I use that as the second source of information is the forums. And then the third source of information is, simple, Google searches. So when I was looking for a systems management software, I just literally went to Google. I found three or four open source systems. And then, by going to the individual websites, I found what I was looking for.
Yep, Google. What did we do before Google? I can't remember.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Vikram, this has been a great conversation, and I really want to thank you for talking to us for SMB Spotlight today and sharing your experience and your insights with us. I think small businesses can learn so much from other small businesses, and we hope that we can add your conversation and keep you continuing to add to the dialogue. Thanks again.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. My pleasure.